Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the second half kickoff. Dave and Logan along with you. Hope you had a good weekend. Right now we are sitting at about 42 degrees. Supposed to get up to 60 today. I think it's going to be nice today, and then tonight the rain starts moving in.
First, I got to get this fog moved out of here, man. I can't even see the radio tower outside of our window right
yeah.
now. It's like 50 yards away.
And it's not even 200 feet high. If it were, it'd have to have a light on it. So
foggy out there.
Yeah, can't even see the top. That's only 200 feet. All right, time to bring in our man Mike Griffith from DogNation.com. Hey, Mike, good morning. How are you?
Great, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. It's a time of year where there's lots of different things going on and not that one main thing going on, but I was interested in what you had written about Jake Fromm and also Andrew Thomas and the draft coming up. I know there's still a long way between now and what we'll see in April, but you had listed several of some of these NFL analysts and where they had some of the Bulldogs. What's the consensus as far as, like, you know, just in your opinion, are these guys going to move up? Obviously, they've got their, you know, for some of them, there's the combine. For all of them, there's the pro day. But what are your thoughts on how the Dogs are going to look in the draft when it comes up in April?
Yeah, you got 10 guys going to the combine. That's pretty good. I think only LSU has more. LSU got like 16. Isn't that crazy?
Jeez.
I think I want to say maybe Michigan, Ohio State might have more, and then Alabama also has 10. But you know, it's a good draft for Georgia players. You know, the combine is coming up next week. I think it'll be very important for Andrew Thomas. You know, I've seen Andrew projected anywhere from being the way to look at it. Really, you can't really control what teams' needs are, so you try to be the best at your position. And there's some good tackles. You know, there's some really good offensive tackles in this year's draft. I've seen him as being the first tackle off the board, and I've seen him being the fourth tackle off the board. So he can go anywhere from number 7, you know, to number 20. And, you know, that may not seem like a big difference because it's all first round, but it's a lot of money. So Andrew's got a lot to compete for there. You know, I expect he'll probably go second or third among the tackles. Jake, don't see him in the first round anywhere. The good news for Jake is a lot of people are projecting that 4 quarterbacks to be taken in the first round. So that means Jake could be an early second-round pick. And that's the projection. Again, this is before the combine. And it goes in stages, right? So they all have game film. And then they start meeting with the players. Some of the seniors have the opportunity to compete in the Senior Bowl. That can be a really big help for them, or the East-West Shrine Game. And then comes the process part of the NFL Combine, where they're going to get a chance to see these guys up close and personal. Now, Jake has impressed in Mobile, some key people down there. But the combine's going to be big for him. Swift, another guy, he's projected as the first back off the board. That could be middle of the first round, but then there's some people that project that a running back doesn't get picked in the first round. So those are the key guys. Those are the first 4. And then you get into your second-day guys, Isaiah Wilson and Solomon Kinley, that are being looked at as second- or third-round picks. Maybe J.R. Reed slips in there. And then you have some other guys that, you know, maybe get drafted. You know, Lawrence Cager coming back off the injury. Will he get drafted? Rodrigo Blankenship. There was a time some people thought Rod could get picked as a kicker. He was at the Senior Bowl. Surprised that Tate Crowder wasn't invited to the combine, but I think he's a guy that could shine and ultimately hear his name called as well.
Mike, you may see this, maybe you don't. I from time to time stumble upon it on social media. A big narrative amongst Georgia's rivals is sort of, well, Kirby Smart gets the recruits, but he doesn't develop the players. And I think that's kind of lazy, in my opinion. Is this that draft that Kirby may have been waiting on to kind of put that argument to bed amongst, you know, rival fans and maybe even some recruits out there?
Yeah, I don't hear that from anybody but uneducated fans. I don't hear anybody of intelligence or substance. I don't think Bill Belichick would be coming down here every other year to visit with Kirby and pick Georgia players if he didn't feel like there was some development. Now, what happens is when you have these top-ranked draft classes and guys go early, right? I mean, you got five guys, five underclassmen went pro last year, five underclassmen going pro again this year. I mean, man, that hurts. You know, boy, how valuable would Mecole Hardman and Isaac Nott and Riley Ridley been in the offense last year? I mean, you're talking about a whole different passing game with those guys back. But instead, they go pro early, you know. And that's why it was so big that guys like Richard McCown and Malik Herring and Monty Rice came back, you know, for their senior season. And Kirby tries to tell them, look, you know, you go pro early, like, you know, in the case of Isaac Moore, you know, great college player. He went in the seventh round. You know, do I think Isaac Nutter would have come back to Georgia had he known he was going to go that late and been on the practice squad? Yeah, I do. I think he'd have come back. Now, Mecole Hardman worked out great. You know, the Chiefs had a need with Tyreek Hill suspended. They go to the Super Bowl. You go, well, that worked out great for him. But what about Riley Ridley? I mean, did he do anything? Is he on anybody's fantasy football roster? What's his future look like? Could he have used another year and maybe gotten picked higher? Probably. You know, so Kirby tries to tell these guys, look, unless you know that you're a first-round pick, don't do it, because it's the situation you get into. And you know, Jake, to me, that was a borderline situation. I just think, you know, Jake said he prayed about it, and, you know, I think he'll find more peace in the NFL than he would have found at Georgia, where, you know, every incomplete pass he threw, it seemed like somebody was down his throat and on social media attacking him.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that. If this were 5 years ago or 10 years ago, how, you know, and social media wasn't the same thing as it is now, I just wonder if...
Oh, he's back.
Yeah.
He's back.
Yeah.
Dave, I've said this. If Twitter was around in the 1990s, Peyton Manning wouldn't have gone back for his senior year at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because those fans were so on him for not beating Florida. He just said, you know, I don't need this. I mean, there's so much of that. And people go, oh, you know, you can just turn it off. You know, you say you can just turn it off, but your family can't turn it off. Your brothers and sisters can't turn it off. Your friends can't turn it off. You hear about it all the time. You can't help but notice it. I mean, you guys probably even see a little bit of that in the job you do.
Oh, of course. You know, I know you see it too. Right? So, yeah, it's the same thing.
Wait a minute. You mean people say bad things about me?
What?
Wait, hold on.
They don't agree with all my opinions?
Wait. What are you talking about? No. But, yeah, I totally get it. It's part of the business. It's part of what, you know, maybe it's not fair for a Jake Fromm all the time or a Peyton Manning when he's an amateur, you know, before he turned pro. But, unfortunately, that's where we are right now. I totally agree with you.
And you know, some people feed off that, but some people don't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, booze bothers some people. And booze motivate others. They bother Jake Fromm. Look, Jake Fromm's just a nice guy, okay? He's just a good Christian guy that wants to make people happy. And when you boo him, it hurts his feelings. That's just a fact. That's just the way that family is. That's a nice family. They're not into this to prove anything to the world or to stick it up anybody's you-know-what. They just want to go out there and play football and love life. Now, people have pointed out he does enjoy hunting and, you know, killing some of God's creatures. But other than that, I don't know what you can find wrong with Jake Fromm. He's just a nice guy. I mean, and so the booing, I think it did bother him. Now, you know, and spiritually, I absolutely believe he prayed. And I absolutely believe that's where it led, because the pressure next season on Jake would have been absolutely immense.
Talking with Mike Griffith from DogNation.com.
Mike, I know a lot of things happened since the last time we talked. Mel Tucker was at Colorado, said he was staying at Colorado. About 24 hours later, he's now at Michigan State. I know you have a lot of Michigan State ties and maybe some sources up there. What happened where he was going to Michigan State? And also, let me expound on that a little bit. What are the ethics behind a coach sort of going on radio, telling recruits, hey, I'm going to stay in one spot, and the next day they're gone? That directly affects a lot of people's lives. Just how did this thing kind of transpire these last several days?
Yeah, that's not a good look for Michigan State all the way around. I mean, Mark D'Antonio resigning after getting a $4 million the day before signing day, but that had to do with an off-field court case that, you know, that's kind of mushroom. Michigan administration didn't handle it well. Michigan State's created a lot of its own problems. I mean, like every school has its problems. It's how you manage them. And Michigan State didn't manage their program well. and so they're in a really difficult state right now, where they felt like they had to overpay for Mel Tucker. And, you know, look, we all like Mel Tucker. He was a great position coach, you know, good defensive coordinator for 3 years for Kirby and a solid guy, well-respected by all his players. You know, but if you look at his track record, he doesn't stay anywhere very long.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was 5-7 in his first year. I mean, to go from being 5-7 in Colorado, in what I think I saw the 8th highest paid Pac-12 coach, to being the 12th highest paid coach in the nation, I mean, you know, I feel like Michigan State hired Mel for the wrong reasons, and I feel like Mel took that job for the wrong reasons. But you know what? Mel's a rich guy now. He's going to make $5.7 million a year. I'm sure there's a lot of guarantees. And, you know, good for him and his family. If that's, you know, and what can you say? It's hard to say somebody shouldn't have done something when they double their salary.
Right.
But as far as how it looks from the outside, yeah, I mean, I think this is a really bad look for college football. I think it's a bad look for Michigan State. I think it's a bad look for Mel Tucker that he said he wasn't leaving. And now there's a Sports Illustrated story saying he was out with boosters raising money, telling them he wasn't leaving, even as the contract was being negotiated that same night. It's a bad look. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. It looks like a money grab, and it looks like greed, and it looks like he doesn't care who got hurt. So what ends up happening here is if Mel's successful, you know, we'll all forget about it, right? Money, if you win it solves everything. You
right.
know, Urban Meyer, right? Win it solves everything. But if he loses, you know, this is going to hurt him getting his next job. You know, it's going to hurt him on the recruiting team. I can tell you that. It's really going to make it difficult for him to recruit because it's going to get used against him. You know, Ohio State, Michigan's going to go, you want to go play for Mel Tucker? Well, he may not be there anymore. Or even 2 years. Well, what did he tell you? Oh, well, here's what Mel Tucker's word means. That was the price that Mel paid for the $5.7 million. And again, if he wins, no one will ever think another thing about it. Or if he stays there 10 years and becomes a destination coach. But that's hard to predict, just looking at his track record and looking at the talent disparity that Michigan State's at. I don't see them
right.
winning and getting back in the top 25 in football anytime in the next 3 or 4 years.
There's sort of a conversation, a notion that I feel like is growing a little bit. Now, let me ask your opinion, if you don't mind. If a coach leaves within a certain time frame of letters of intent being signed, do you kind of feel like that player should be allowed to reopen his commitment or his recruitment? Or what are your thoughts on just the way that coaches seem to be leaving very, very close to these signing days these days?
Well, I would agree with that. I know that at spring meetings a couple years ago, Kirby was addressing that, and he was in favor of relaxing the transfer rules. I know that Nick Saban wasn't, but Kirby was, and he used coaches as an example. You know, he used how coaches leaving as an example. You know, that's one of the things I like about covering Kirby is I don't think he's a hypocrite. I think he's a pretty straight shooter. And, you know, I would agree with that. You know, you would want to say what's good for the goose, good for the gander. But at the same time, you know, kids have to realize you're committing to the school, not the coach. I mean, there's a level of sophistication, you know, that you're expected to have. You know your position coach may leave, right? I mean, look at Carson Beck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a new offensive coordinator now. Yeah, he came in thinking to James Coley and, you know, was going to be the guy. But that doesn't matter to him. You know, he signed with Georgia, and as it turns out, I think this new coordinator – same thing with Dorn Mathis, right? Dorn Mathis, you know, look, here was a guy that had to figure it out for himself last year. He's ready to sign with Ohio State. He literally had two letters in front of him on the early signing day. And Ohio State was telling him they weren't talking to Justin Fields. They were still telling him he was going to be the only one. But he saw on Twitter, and he might have heard from somebody on the Georgia coaching staff, that Justin Fields may be there. He had to make a decision before Justin Fields pulled the trigger and went there. And Dorn chose Georgia. It was a leap of faith. He trusted Georgia. But, you know, the people he trusted were gone. You know, Jim Chaney's gone. James Coley's gone, right? But he's more tied now with Kirby Smart, with everything Kirby did for him and his family, you know, after his crisis with the brain surgery and, you know, his dad, I mean, and how he feels about Kirby. And you know, he feels like Kirby took care of Dorn like he was his own son. And, you know, that thing's reached a whole another level between the Mathis family and Kirby Smart. I mean, they feel so in debt to him and so appreciative of him. You know, Dwan's really happy to be at Georgia now.
All right, Mike, before we let you go, how curious are you to see how the atmosphere and what things are going to be like Wednesday at the Coliseum with Auburn coming to town?
Well, I don't know if curious is the right word. I just think it's disappointing because I feel like this team's played much better than their record most of the year. You know, it's just one tough, close loss after another. I think Rayshon Hammond's played really well. It's been good to see how he's responded the last couple games since, you know, really he kind of gone in the gutter, and that had really hurt their chances that he wasn't playing good defense or seemingly not exerting himself like he's capable. And, you know, now Ray's back, but now Anthony Edwards is still dealing with the flu and shortness of breath. And, you know, that's tough when you're 18-year-old and you're asking this guy to play, and he wants to play and he wants to help, but there's only so much he can do. I think the thing people got to remember is there's just a lot of newness on this team. There's a lot of young guys. And, you know, when Yante Maiden, I mean, Tom Crane, the cupboard was bare. I mean, Yante Maiden was gone, okay? And there just wasn't much left. And that's what he was stuck with last year. Nick Claxton really developed. Boy, talked about another guy you wish would have stayed another year, and he could have really used it. You know, but other than Nick Claxton, there really wasn't much last year. And, you know, then this year, you know, you got all this talent, but you get this brutal schedule where the SEC office has you set up to play six opening games against teams in the NCAA tournament in your league schedule. I mean, that was just not cool. You know, but now on the back end, you're trying to get momentum, and you're so close. And now, you know, you play really good against A&M, but geez, now you run into the best team in the league, right? So I don't know. I mean, I still think it's an entertaining team. I think Auburn's really good. That's not the team you're going to get back on track against. But I haven't given up on the team yet. I think they could still make a run. I think it's still fun to watch Anthony Edwards do some things, Sevier Wheeler, Tumani Kamara. I mean, you can see these guys growing before your eyes. But, you know, man, they need a win. No doubt about it. It'd be good to see a win.
All right, Mike, great stuff. As always, we appreciate it. Have a good week, and we'll catch you again next Monday.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, all right, Mike Griffith from DogNation.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.